Sandy Peterson, and I designed a game called Call of Cthulhu many, many years ago. We won't talk about how many, because it's kind of depressing. And I am here to show you how to design adventures the Sandy Peterson way. And not that this is the best way or the worst way, it's just the way that fits with my brain. So as I discuss how to design adventures, and these are going to be these are horror adventures. Focus on Lovecraftian base, because that's the ones I do most often, and that's probably what you're here for anyway. Because Call of Cthulhu adventures are not as easy to design as most adventure games, because there's got to be different elements. You can't just have a giant ancient tomb full of monsters and go fight them. Well, you can, but then, like, the way you interact with those ancient tombs full of monsters is not by going there to fight them in Call of Cthulhu. So we're going to talk about that. Is that enough instruction? I've done other games since then. I'm currently doing board games. And in fact, here is propaganda for you guys to pick up. If you weren't at the last session, you can get propaganda for my upcoming board games. And here's awesome tattoos of all of the factions in Cthulhu Wars. So if you want to be marked by Yogg-Sothoth, this is the one you take, okay? They look kind of like this. This is Windwalker, this is Black Goat, so they're cool. If you have kids that would want them, they work just like regular temporary tattoos. Peel off the plastic, throw it on, okay? Now, if your brain does not work like mine, and why should it, right? Then what you're going to want to do is adapt this for what works best for you. Okay, you might be demented in a different way than me, but there's elements of this that should be useful to anyone. So we're going to do this as a sort of experimental technique, and what we're going to do is I start off like not knowing anything, it's a blank slate. Okay, and my brain randomly picks this, but we're not going to do that. We're going to instead we're going to pick on the only female here. And are you very familiar with Cthulhu Mythos, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to pick an entity from the Cthulhu Mythos.
Shargoth,
okay. So first we pick a thing, okay? Second, we're going to pick you with the H.P. Lovecraft Film Fest shirt, and you are going to pick a site, a place. It could be a lighthouse, or it could be a boat, or it could be Providence, Rhode Island. I don't care. You're picking a place.
The old spooky house in the city.
We'll see if the city matters to it. Okay. Now, who has seen an awesome horror movie lately? Who has seen a sucky horror movie lately? Who has seen a horror movie ever? Okay. Or read a horror story. Name a scene from that kind of struck you.
In the movie Dagon.
Okay.
When the lady sees that the hotel receptionist has gills. Seeing gills.
The weird receptionist, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this gives us a person, place, or thing is kind of what it is, right? Except the person is the monster. The place is the situation, and then the scene is the thing. And what you're trying to do is figure out where that scene will show up in your adventure at one point. And as we structure the adventure, we're going to figure out some way for these to fit together. So, we have someone weird, okay? We have a Shargoth. We have an old house. Now, we specifically said this guy was a receptionist. Now, we can change it. We aren't wedded to any of this. We can change any of this on the fly. But let's start free associating. And this is literally how I do my adventures. I start out with random things and like plug it in. So let's talk about, okay, let's say he's actually at a hotel. Okay, so we have a guy at a hotel who is weird. We have an old house and we have a Shargoth. Well, one logical way of connecting these is that the Shargoth is in the house. Okay, but the receptionist isn't. That's interesting. He's somewhere else. So my guess is he is sending people to that house for some reason. Right? So let's have a receptionist doing that. And so we'll get the other thing. So we have a connection here. Well, over here is some kind of building with a weird person. Okay? And over here is a different building with the shotgun. Okay? And he is getting people to go here.
It was what I would do. And I'm just, right, to send them there to get eaten by the Shoggoth. Presumably the PCs, in fact. The players, right? The investigators. So, let's connect this up. Next step is, what is this guy's authority to send people there?
Hotel is full. This is a nice bread and breakfast.
Could be. He says, we'll head to you there. And because we couldn't find a room for you, it's free. Everyone would want to go there, right? Okay, that would work. I was thinking it could be a game convention and he's sending people to extra rooms. But yeah, what the heck? It's a hotel, and this is a bed and breakfast. Okay, and it could actually be a bed and breakfast, right? Because if you walk in and there's no one there, then that's going to not work. But it wouldn't have any muster bed and breakfast. It could have, like, for example, there'd be a postcard up front. Please sign your name here. Your room's upstairs. They called ahead. Okay, or maybe your room's downstairs. Okay. What city is this in?
Providence.
Okay. Sure, why not? Providence is basements, right? I was just there 2 weeks ago. I walked by the Shun house. I mean, I went to my wife to read the story first. So she read it in that morning, and then we walked by the house, and there it is, the Shun house. Which tragically, the owner painted a bright yellow. But it is the actual Shunt house. I have pictures of it here because it was cool. It has the gnarled apple tree and everything. It was built in 1764, it said. But Lovecraft said 63, so who knows? It just said circa. Okay, so the hotel is sending people here. Okay, presumably during the night something terrible happens to them. Right? And it has to do with the Shoggoth. So the next thing is, what is he getting out of this? How does feeding people to a Shoggoth benefit him? Okay, now there's a couple ways. It could just be a random, if you don't care that much about the plotting, then you can say, well, he's just sending guys there, and the players may never find out why, because it might be enough of an adventure to have the players go to the hotel, say, like, for a convention, right? You gotta go to the bed and breakfast. Like, for example, what I would do is I would set this up with a different adventure basis. We're going to the convention the Delta Green convention or whatever it is. You have some place they're going for some awesome thing. It's the convention of getting illegal black market guns, which all PCs are interested in, right? Okay? It doesn't matter. And they think there's going to be some adventure with this. And there is. Okay? So they go here. They go to this hotel because it's, you know, it doesn't matter. They say, what hotel do you want to go to? And give them a list. And they'll pick one. And it's always that one. Right? Want to stay in the Providence Inn? It has a Lovecraft room, you know, which is, in fact, where I stayed last Necronomicon, the one recent one I stayed at, the Biltmore, which is cool because it was built in the 20s, and Lovecraft wrote letters on stationery from there. I guess he went and stole it. So you go to the hotel, whatever hotel they pick, and it's, right, then it's this hotel. The guy says, I'm sorry, that hotel's filled. And the guy, the game master, what the heck is this? Okay, there's a bed and breakfast. And if you can, what I would do in this case is I would like position it as like, yeah, just go to the bed and breakfast. You go there, you have a note. You go, okay, I'm in the bed and breakfast. That's cool. That's nicer anyway. And don't like make them think it's a big thing. Okay? Later on, they'll find out this guy's weird when they go back to ask him about it. Then the weirdness comes in. First, there's no weirdness, I'm thinking. So they go to the bed and breakfast. And they do the first part of the adventure. Okay, what do you want to do today? Well, we'll do some library research, do see if we can rent a car. You know, they get prepared for the event. They don't want to do the adventure at night, right? So this is happening in the afternoon. And presumably, they can either do the convention thing where they buy the illegal guns or whatever it is, or they can start whatever the adventure is that they think they're doing. Oh yeah, you got to explore this old house. Not that one, another one. Well, we don't want to go there at night, right? Because, in fact, maybe that's cool. We'll set it up for an old house that they're going to explore, a haunted house. See, here's the creepy haunted house. Okay. What they don't realize is this is the stalking horse for them to end up here. Okay. And, in fact, since we have an adventure for them to go to, we're trying to trick them into being killed here, right, then maybe this is actually part of the adventure, too. And what's happening is this guy is connected to this place, and that's why he sent them there, and now we know why he's feeding people to the Shoggoth. To keep them from exploring this. It's a simple murder plot. They cannot find out what we have here. So we're sending them here first. So your players, and this is all off the top of my head. You guys, like, all right? I mean, I'm not, you guys have suggestions that are improve this. I want to hear them, okay? So they go here, gotta go to the bed and breakfast. They go to the bed and breakfast, they get set up for the exploring of the evil haunted house that they've been summoned there by their poor dying uncle or whoever, like it always is in Call of Cthulhu, right? So some guy gets in there to sort the old house. They're getting ready to go to the old house. It's not in their home city, because otherwise they wouldn't stay at a hotel. That's why it's got to be Providence or some awkward place, okay? Usually I settle my adventures in my home city, wherever I happen to live at the time, because it's I know where things are. But for this, it's somewhere else, okay?
Could the Shoggoth move, like, through tunnels? From like?
If we want, sure. But I'm thinking that they go here, they get their stuff ready, and they say, okay, you got all your stuff. The sun just went down. You want to go to the old haunted house? And they go, nope, good night, sleep. Okay? Not going there at night. No, sir. So that's covered. And that means they're spending the night in this place, and you say, okay, well, you get the upstairs room. How many rooms do you want to have? And they'll say, and like, everyone wants to sleep in the same room with the girl. She wants to sleep alone. However, it's set up. They all pick their rooms, they settle down, and then at night, you hit them with the Shoggoth. It's time to kill them. Okay? Now, here's the problem with this. The Shoggoth will, of course, kill them. Right? Because the Shoggoth is one of the most horrendous monsters imaginable. Okay? So, we have to have something that may not immediately kill them. Okay? And I'm thinking that the proprietors of the bed and breakfast are that something. Before we know who they are, we got to figure out what's happening here. This is a haunted house. Well, it's not a haunted house. It's just a thing. Something they're investigating. It doesn't have to be a house at all. It could be something else. But it's something which is doing something that these that this cult, we have now a whole cult. We got the weird receptionist here. We got the bed and breakfast people, right? We got a whole cult of these people. The way this started, you came in late, was that I had one of the people here pick a monster. I didn't pick it. Then I had one of them pick a situation, like a place. Then I had one of them pick a scene from a movie. And they picked the scene in Dagon where the receptionist has gills. Okay, so it's like, okay, we got an old house, we got a rear receptionist, so we're trying to figure out from there. So what we've got so far is our guys come into town to investigate the place. The hotel's filled, sends a new bed and breakfast. And one way you could do it, if you have some super awesome hotel that the players obviously want to stay at. If this hotel is a commanding view, then first thing they like, oh, he's a jerk, he can't want to stay there, we have to go to bed and breakfast. Okay? But I would totally underplay the fact that going to bed and breakfast. Okay? Or alternatively, if they don't go to a hotel, they're looking for a place to stay, like their travel guide or something. Someone says, oh, you should stay at this place. This guy can be anyone, but he gets them to go to the bed and breakfast. They go there, they get prepared for all, they get geared up for the bad place, but it's too late at night because their plane came in at 3 p.m., took them 6 hours to get it. So no one wants to go to the haunted house at night, right? That's like a gimme. If they do want to go to it at night, because then you look at them as the game master, are you sure? At night? You know it's the full moon, and then they'll, right? It's not hard to shame them into not going there at night. Why don't you split up the party, you know? So they don't go there at night, they're in the house, and you got the cult, and so because we can't have the Shoggoth come eat them, because, like, a Shoggoth is like a nuclear bomb and its ability to kill you, then you have cultists who can come in there to take you down and feed you to the Shoggoth, or lead the Shoggoth to you or something. It's not like the Shoggoth is going to obediently do what they say. So we got a cult. So there's a cult of people, and over here is something they're doing that they value that is... significant enough for the players to have heard of it, or for it to have appeared in the paper, or for old Uncle Ted, who dies in the first part of the adventure, to tell, or something. Something tells about this thing, right? I don't care what this thing is right now. We'll figure that in a second. But it's something that's vulnerable. Okay, it's something that if the players go there, there's a good chance it will be stopped. That's why the bad guys are misleading us and killing us with the Shoggoth. What are they doing? Let's see some possibilities. They're a cult, so it could be some crazy ass thing, we don't have any idea. But it could be something more plausible. So who looks intelligent? Many of you do. What's a possible thing? Let's think about this. In the newspaper lately, has there been something happening which the cops stopped?
Bootlegging?
No one bootlegs anymore. Come on, there's an idea in 2015, dude.
This is a classic.
Or human trafficking.
Human trafficking. Ooh. I kind of like that. So how can we get people into this? Okay, so I just had a thought here. So I'm trying to think a reason for people to go there. Okay, if it's human trafficking, that pretty much means girls, right? I mean, that's who the most profit is in trafficking. So we have a place where we're sending, where girls are going. And then you sell them to, you sacrifice them, or you do something terrible to them, right? Right? So somewhere they would go, they might stay for a while and vanish. And I'm thinking an abortion clinic. Okay? Like a special abortion clinic, you might get a lot of teenagers, ones that or unwed mothers or whatever, and they go there and if they don't have connections, either they vanish or you've got like fetal parts you can do things with. So we can have a cultist abortion clinic. I love that idea. Okay? And I would totally have it picketed out front, right? Or 50 yards away, or whatever the limit is, and maybe California can't picket it all, right? Texas, you can picket it, you have to be a distance away. So you can have the picketers and everything. So, and then depending on your player's political or religious views, they could be pro or anti the clinic, but that doesn't matter. So extra stuff to worry about, extra things to keep them from thinking about this. That's what it's all for. It's all friction. They don't think about the Shoggoth. Okay? So we have an abortion clinic where they either are trying to get the baby parts, or some of the moms disappear, or both. Okay? And that now we know how the players are going there. My daughter ran away from home, went to this city. Last we heard, she was getting an abortion. Haven't heard of her since. Check it out. Okay? And then if the clinic is run by the Esoteric Order of Dagon or something, then like there's a clue, right? So we've got something on. So now the abortion, here's the thing. The clinic doesn't have to kill every single person that comes in.
No.
It only needs a few. My theory is this clinic is probably not run by Planned Parenthood, okay? It's an independent one. But I'm sure they get government money. So here they are. So we got the abortion clinic. And of course, we find out that they're doing stuff with the babies. Like, the thing is, it's really easy to get anti-groups to support you in lawsuits and stuff against it if you find anything going wrong at all. So that's why it's vulnerable. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so you've got this stuff going on. And then the pro-choice players are kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't mess with them. They may push them, they're bad guys. So they don't want to mess with them, everyone wants to mess with them. And so you're going to go there, it's vulnerable because there is evidence. There's like a big vat full of babies that they've kept alive, maybe. They're growing something out of. Right? Because cultists may have the technology to, and this leads to the next idea. If we're talking about, it just got in the blue, I thought maybe they're keeping the fetuses alive. If they're doing that, they have biotechnology. If they have biotechnology that can do that, we know who the cult is.
Mego.
Okay? Those guys could do that. And now, because it's an actual alien race, now we know why the receptionist is so weird. And why he it sounds like he has a cold and he doesn't get up from his chair. Right? Because he's a Mego. Right? He's in a wheelchair. Motorized wheelchair, because if he stands up, you'll see like the legs joint every which way, and he's got an extra leg, right? So, so we got Mego that are growing things in this. No, they're using human fetuses to grow something. Shoggoths are like just a bunch of protoplasm. That's just a tool. They're growing something awful with the fetuses, okay? Something like a better human race. The correct human race. Remember, the Mego are fungus creatures, right? That means that they grow themselves for purposes. They're not like humans where we have DNA and stuff. They say, we need a Mego that will do X. Let's grow it with wings. Let's sculpt it now. They carve pieces out. They don't care. They're fungus and crustacean type things, right? So they grow their guys for any purposes. Lovecraft says specifically in the story, there's like lots of kinds of Mego. I know there's only one in the rules, but most of them can't get to Earth. Okay. Another possibility is that they can't get Mego to Earth, but if they sculpt humans properly, they'll be just as useful as those Mego. Mm-hmm. Let's make some humans with directly brains to run our machinery. Let's make some humans that can for combat humans, some like chanting humans because we love to chant all the time for Migo. And you have a lot of possibilities. You have these bizarre, these bizarro goblin-esque humans there. I think this is a cool idea.
Stem
okay.
Cells.
What?
They're using stem cells.
They're using the, well, I think they're getting, I think it's a scarier. The stem cells are in there. I think if they're taking an actual fetus they got out, right, and then growing that, but still looks fetal, but like withered and like, you know, this monstrous thing that was someone's baby once, right? But of course it wasn't a lot of baby. And then this also sets something else, because the final awesome scene in the adventure takes place here, where you confront the things, the abortions. Okay? That's what I would call them, because that is a creepy monster. Right? Here we have a golem made of the 10,000 aborted fetuses, and no one wants to fight that thing. Right? It's like the unholiest of monsters. And that's our final thing. Right? So we have an awesome final adventure. But, and it all came out of this Shoggoth with an old house with a weird receptionist. The receptionist now Migo. In the house, I think we have to have the humans go after him, because when the Migo are moving around, they're mobile. But, like, the really obviously Migo. Okay? But we know they work with humans. Okay? So, they're using the Shoggoth to kill the people. They're Migo. They're not deep ones. They're not elder things. They don't have full control over the Shoggoth. Okay? So they need to be trying to bait it up to them.
Or bait the humans down to the Shoggoth.
Or bait the humans down to the Shoggoth. Or chase them to it. Okay? And why do they want to send them to the Shoggoth? Because it leaves no evidence. Well, I mean, it could suck the head off and leave a body. But the hope is it will eat them, right? Or carry them off down the sewer and leave them somewhere else.
The trash compactor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe the Shoggoth excretes something valuable when fed humans that has a certain cult use.
Well, a Shoggoth is a valuable thing no matter what. It's like it can do heavy labor and stuff. I mean, let's think about the Shoggoth. The Shoggoth almost isn't fitting into our scenario anymore, right? but that's okay, because I've said we can change it. But it led us to this scenario, so it was cool we had it. So we'll take a look at the Shoggoth. I mean, he doesn't really fit, I don't think, with the Migo. What is it instead? Ooh, a giant fungus thing. That's why he doesn't come up and get you. They have a huge fungus growth in the basement that they throw you into, and it dissolves you and excretes your hormones or something awesome, because it's Migo, right? So it's very Shoggoth-like. They might think it's a Shoggoth first, but it's not. It's way worse. It's a whole room of a thing grown from the Migo. Right?
Arise up.
I have a scenario I played where the Migo, it turns out they have an infectious form, because they're funguses, right? You can catch them. Okay? And so that was, okay. And in this same scenario, there's also, they find out that the brain cylinders, you know how they can plug in, you can get the eyes and the ears, there's other things you can plug them into. And they have like biomachinery that stick it into it to be the, like, for a bulldozer. You know, because why not, right? So anyway, we got the Migo, they now have the fungoid blob, which is very Shoggoth-y. Okay? It's in the basement.
That explains why they need you down in the basement a lot.
Yes, it doesn't move.
Killing you and dumping the body.
They have to get there, exactly. And also, they don't have to dump the body this way. They have to shove the thing in the basement and the covers in the walls. And of course, because the thing in the basement is not just a giant fungus infection, but it is intelligent because it's Migo origin, that has a brain in there somewhere, then when it goes in there, it can, like, not move and not molest the cops. Okay, so like, wow, it's gross down here, but they don't necessarily know it's a monster. They're just like, what are you doing down here? Why is there lichen everywhere? What is this soft? And they might, for example, try to claim that it is insulation. Okay, and if it doesn't move, maybe you can tell. Okay, and unlike many of the monsters in Lovecraft, I don't remember the Migo having a particular odor. Okay, which probably makes sense for something that flies through space. It's not constantly giving off bits of itself to make a smell. Okay, most of the things all have smells, right? Not the Migo so much. So because they fly through space, I think it makes sense. So it doesn't have a smell. It's in the basement. It's smart enough. I mean, I'm not saying it's like a genius, but it, you know, it has an IQ of 70 or 80. That's good enough to obey a simple thing. It's like Lenny, right? And of Mice and Men. So you can, okay, except it, like evil Lenny. Okay, so we have to see in the basement, which is another awesome moment, right, when they realize it's there, and they're going to think for a while that this is the ultimate horror, which it's not. It's just a place to get extra hormones that they can then take here to mature the humans, the human fetuses. They don't have, we need adult hormones for this. We need some grown-up stem cells, not just the baby ones. Let's get this going, right? So now we have a business going on. So not only does the same thing you hear get rid of you, which is good for them, but it gives hormones and stuff for the for this place. So it's win-win for the Migo and their cult, right? Well, that didn't take long. Half an hour, we got a pretty awesome adventure. We can polish this off with a few more things, shall we? Or should we move on to another one? With half an hour, we have an adventure that I think is fairly kick-ass, right? Because you have moments where players can go into the basement before they're going to be sacrificed and see them milking the blob for the stuff, right? Okay? And then see, like, bones or people's faces disappeared into it to hide them from when the cops come. Okay? Right? And then we have the weird buzzing dude who can burst out at any moment and be a Migo. Okay.
Well, so we need to. How do the adventurers get from the bed and breakfast to... So I assume
this is what they initially came to investigate.
Right.
So they already know about this.
Right.
This is trying to keep them from getting there. So okay. They know about the other place. And I would say that one of the things that needs to happen to this at some point is that in their investigation and their hopefully not being eaten by the blob, they find information or documents or something in this house or backed by this guy that shows a connection between this and that. Good heavens, these guys also own the abortion clinic. The abortion clinic owns this.
They find the bills.
Yeah, these guys are paying, the abortion clinic is paying their bills. Then they know there's a connection and it's not just a random encounter with Migo, which you wouldn't have anyway in Call of Cthulhu, but... Right. If they played a lot of D&D and this is their first Call of Cthulhu game, maybe they think that. Okay. So there's a connection here. So there's like connection, and then the players can use those like search skills and stuff to like, look, bills in the bottom of the desk. This is owned by the abortion clinic, and they go, oh my goodness. Okay. Also, if they follow the panel truck after they see them milking the blob, it goes like right to the clinic, right?
Another thought that occurred to me.
Yes.
If you want to get the cops away from the bed and breakfast, you want to have a lot of protests at the clinic. So the cult itself should be...
Oh, they love the clinic, the protests, right? They love the protests.
So a lot of the protesters are going to be cultists themselves.
It depends on what state it's in, whether you need this. Like, you might be able to get the protests, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just by being a overt enough abortion clinic. But if you need more, you can't have some cultists do it. And help join. All they got to do is carry a placard, right?
Yeah.
You know? And your cultists, unlike deep ones, look just like anyone else. They're just guys working for the Migo. And in fact, people working for the Migo, sure, if you're up in, like, Vermont, they're like a bunch of hayseeds. But in a city, they wouldn't be. They'd be probably educated people. They're in contact. I mean, they're sophisticates. You've seen the movie Whisper in Darkness? Noyes is not a primitive. He's a sophisticate. Because he's a domineering, like, OCD asshole, he works with less educated people, but he wouldn't have to, right? You could have educated people. Well, what kind of people would want to work with the Migo? It's not like Migo was saying, let's all, like, if it was a Shub-Niggurath cult, the goal is, let's all go and have a giant orgy and then spawn Shub-Niggurath. But the Migo, they're getting alien technology, they're learning about, they're in the know. They're the guys that know the true secret. They're like conspiracy cultists that get in on it, right?
So this is modern day of the
adventure. I would do a modern, well, all my adventures are modern day. You could probably fit this into the ancient times though, right? Into the 20s easily enough. There's nothing here that requires, well, the abortion clinic does a little bit. Okay. If we change it, if you want to do it in the 1920s, then I would swap this out for something else.
So in a Delta Green setting, would be majestic, and in a modern day setting, it'd be a different kind of cult. Working with the Migo in exchange for technology, let's say.
Yeah, or exchange for having your brain put in the can and supplying to outer space, right? Because you get to see outer space. How cool is that? Or just knowing that you're in, that you know. Everyone else thinks 9/11 was done by the Israelis or George Bush, but you know it's really something else, right? Kind of thing. You know, there's conspiracy theories around, right? So you're one of them, and you're a. But okay, if it's in their time, what I would do, I could still be an abortion clinic, actually. Okay, but now it's illegal. Mm-hmm. There's no protesters, and they really have to keep a secret because mm-hmm. the cops will totally go after it. Okay? So you have to change parts of the element. The fact in the modern times, the cops are making sure there's no trouble at the clinic. Okay? And if you have some cultists out there picketing, then their solution to, if you're trying to get cops to go here, and there's a reason they don't want the cops there, usually this is pretty covered, right? But if they have something incriminating there, they like, all they gotta do is start a fight at the abortion, then the cops will go there. Mm-hmm. It'll distract them, you know.
Or call in a bomb threat.
Exactly. There's tons of ways they can get them away from here. Because this is going to be, we need the cops to come here and look at a like some black mold in the basement. The cops are like, call OSHA, dude. Right? Okay. So this is hard to get them out to. This is easy. Or say, my friend disappeared here, and you got to come find him. And they're like, well, maybe he walked away because it's such a bed and breakfast. It's not like, what do you think? It's a basement? Will it eat some, right? So there is, right? Okay? So we got, now, because it's in a city, which replaces it in a city, there can't be very many Nego, because they don't get around well in the city. They're too obviously not human. I mean, the one in the story had to hollow out a guy and live inside him, right? And he had to stay in a chair. So I'm assuming the Nego are going to be, not very many of them. This might be the only one around, okay? He might be, he probably, like I said, probably masking as a guy in a wheelchair, okay, so that he can, doesn't have to get up and make it obvious how alien he is, okay. He may actually have wax replicas so they don't decay, but it could be fun if they're not and he has to swap them out, okay. So this is giving another idea. So if he doesn't want to swap out, maybe they aren't good artists. What maybe he is using actual faces. And the source of the faces, we're going to get a whole bunch of identical faces. You can grow them. And maybe there's a series of the abortions that are grown to give him, grown up, accelerated growth to give him hands and identical faces that he can carve off periodically and replace his own ones. Right? How creepy. And then that's the first thing they see. The room full of faces and hands being grown in pots. Right? How cool is that? Then they work their way up to the cool stuff. You guys can do it. It would be up to you to figure out what kind of map or internal organization, how the players are going to break in. The bad guys are... and then, of course, this is the back room with all the monsters, right? So I think we have a good plot here. What's missing?
Why is the Migo at the hotel as a receptionist if he's supposed to be there providing technology and... They've got a very complicated operation going.
That's a good question. He's not fighting technology. He just wants the humans are just tools for him.
Sure,
right?
But
he's got to be somewhere. Ah!
What if he's not that's not a hotel, but what if that's like a family services kind
that's,
of...
That's what I'm now thinking, is that he's family services. Because you thought, I wasn't thinking family services, but family services is better than what I was thinking, so I'm going to pretend I was thinking about it. Okay. What I'm thinking is that now, this is the guy... This is their connection in the town when they go there, okay? Because they say, well, maybe you should check with the family services, okay? And so they go. The person in town here, to mimic Mr. Darkness, may even be the guy that was originally trying to get him to come in to investigate it. He says, look, I do family services, and I help these people all the time, but something's wrong with this place. Like, about 3 girls a year don't come back. Which is, of course they get lots more fetuses than just 3. But they get hundreds of fetuses and then like 3 girls, right? And, hey, you can do a lot with 3 girls. So, in fact, one of the purposes of 3 girls could be to human traffic and make extra money. Because they need money. Unless it's all provided by gold from the Migo, right? You gotta drag the gold from Yagoth, Okay, so the Migo is here, and what he's done, he has replaced our contact. Okay? Perhaps those evil cultists injured me or shot me. I'm in a wheelchair.
So he's purposely sending people to the B&Bs, and he's the one that's saying, hey, there's some crazy stuff going on in the clinic. So he's providing me.
And that's why he's here, because that's the only place, because you have to replace a person. Cultists can't do that, but the Migo can. So the cultists are like, We found out this guy is calling in a team of expert investigators, assuming that your guys are experts, which is unproven. And they're going to come in, and they're going to break down the cultist clinic. So the Migo says, got it. He goes in, he replaces the guy, says, oh, I got shot even, or something. Something that, well, I'm in a wheelchair. They're so bad. You know, I've got a bed and breakfast for you to stay in. Okay? Or then they'll figure out pretty fast there's something wrong with him. That's okay, though. What is he here? He's not going to be there when they go back. Or if he is, then they're going to arrest him. He's in a public spot right in the front room. They can't pull out a gun and shoot him there. Okay? If they do, it might not kill him, being amigo. Okay? And other issues will come up out of that, right? So I think that works. Now he sends them there. They're even less suspicious. So the Migo, the cultists go up there, and if the cultists, trying to keep the Migos in a seat deal as long as possible, come in from the outside to get them, okay, then the players won't realize that they own the house unless they're dragged to the basement where they see them. I mean, even then they may not realize it for a while, right? And they took over the house, and they go, oh my gosh, he says, you must go to the other house then. Right? Funny thing about that. He's only going to send them to terrible places. Maybe this is where he sends them to, like, well, there's an abandoned subway station you can stay in. And this is where the Shoggoth comes back, because he lives in the sewers, and they know it, and they're expecting the Shoggoth and his ramblings to come get him. They don't control the Shoggoth, he's just there. Right? And you can keep this going until the players finally drop the other shoe and go, oh, maybe this guy that he's sending us to death traps isn't our buddy. Okay. Okay. So, there we go. We got the weirdo in the family service. We have a fungoid thing in the basement of this house, which is giving us an awesome adventure when they see that. Okay? And then they give an awesome adventure here when they go here. They have connections they can make. They have connections back to here they can make. It goes both ways, right? They go, why is he always sending this here? We have a subway station. If we want to use the Shoggoth still. And why would we do that? Because a Shoggoth and a subway is like a perfect combination. Because you can actually get away from it. And it's, okay. Yet it's terrifying. Run, 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 run. Oh my gosh, there's a train coming. Between the train and the Shoggoth, right? And then you have an awesome subway accident with the Shoggoth, right? And all this stuff, you know, you like, this might be more spectacular than all the abortions coming after him. But, you know, we can just start with the abortions. Okay? Okay, there we go. This looks to me like a multi-night adventure. You wouldn't do this for a convention run. I think this would be one day, one adventure, right? One evening? And then this or this would be the other. If they went straight to here, that ends it. And if they go straight to here and you don't get to use the subway in a Shoggoth, you got it in your back pocket for another adventure, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? At some point, they may go here. If your players are especially painstaking about putting things together, it's probably three nights. Otherwise, I would say two.
Probably say that teenage girls that are runaways have been known to hide in the subway stations.
Well, yeah, my other idea was that you said that you go, when this is a bad place, yeah. And you tell him, he goes, oh my gosh, they were waiting for you. We'll go here instead. This
well,
is they won't
go. Sleep in a subway station.
Well, no. The logic is it's a bad guy. Okay, what he's claiming. What I was telling my players, I would say, what the claim of his is that the bad guys found out about the bed and breakfast that people do, so they installed the fungus thing, and we don't know it's Migo yet, right?
Right.
As soon as they find out it's a Migo thing, they're gonna peg the wheelchair guy with the hoarse voice, okay? They shot me in the throat. Right? So they went there, they installed their monster, and remember, it's fungus. It grows super fast. It didn't have to be big before, okay? And it's alien fungus, what the heck, right? From Pluto, so it's alien. And then the bad guys seem to have come in from outside. They weren't in the house. And in fact, if when they go in, there's a note saying, hey, your room's upstairs, everything's ready for you, breakfast at 8 a.m., and they never see the proprietors, they might think, I would think, oh, the cultists killed them and left that note for me, okay? But the cultists just own it, right? And then later on, when they survive the adventure with the fungus blob, which is extruding pseudopods in the basement, and they're fighting the cultists and all that stuff, then when they realize they led us here, or they chased us here, or whatever they did, like if your players are cowardly, they're chased there by cultists with knives or whatever, right? Or guns if your players have, okay? If your cultists are brave, there's a cultist running to the basement to lead them. But one of those two ways, you should really go to the basement. Maybe one of the cultists is a girl who leads them there. Like a young, like maybe they, this is one of the people from the abortion clinic, I think. A young girl. We'll help you, dear! And then it's bad, right? Okay? She looks young because she's short, but she's a cho-cho or something. You know, there's lots of ways you can do it. Okay. So the idea is that he says the bad guys took this over because they knew that was the bed and breakfast I went to. So that means that they're obviously bugging my phone, okay, or hooking into it somehow. Then we gotta send you somewhere they won't know about, and they can't find. They're watching they're watching stuff. They'll never know about the abandoned subway station. You'll be safe there. And at this point, when they go to the subway station and the Shoggoth goes after them, then they know, right, that all is lost. But then they know he's a bad guy. But that's okay. Yeah, they have to find out someday. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other possibility is that if they find out it's Mego, then the subway station is super attractive to them because they know that Mego aren't like underground things. They fly. Mm-hmm. They aren't gonna like underground. And they don't. That's why you have a Shoggoth. Okay. I mean, they only like the basement here because it's damp. Okay. So. Basically, when I give this talk, I've never had this plot before. Like last time, it was they also picked Shoggoths. Everyone loves Shoggoths, right? It's like half the time someone picks Shoggoth. The last one, we had Zeppelins over Poland bombing old churches with Shoggoths, right? That was what was happening there. So it's like, it was very different. They're trying to set up this arcane pattern of a seven-pointed star in these cities in Poland with the Shoggoth. So it doesn't lead to the same adventures, okay? And every time I do this, it's some bizarro world thing. So this one I rather like, and you're all welcome to steal it and try to publish it if you want.
When are we going to see this in print from Chaosium?
I don't know. You know, I mean, this is how I do a scenario. Okay, I think of a creature, I think of a place to set it, and I think of a scene from a recent movie or a story that I like. That's literally what I do: person, place, or thing. I go, okay, now what? And really, the other things, like there's timeline, but mine are always modern times. This one doesn't have to be if you have it be an illegal clinic, okay, or an opium den, or who knows what, right? But but then I riff on that. Like, we got rid of the Shoggoth at some point, and the receptionist was no longer a hotel guy. He was like at a family services. Okay, I like the idea of putting him in like an official government position, because I love having Mego in the government, because that just makes everyone feel warm and fuzzy. Right, because are they going to do a worse job than the cranky old men that run us now, right? So there we go. This is an adventure done the Sandy Peterson way, and your players will have no need to thank me or you, but all this came from our riffing on it, right? Mm-hmm. So anyone want this? No one wants it?
I have it already written down.
If someone wants it, you can hear later. We have 15 minutes left for a Q&A.
This actually goes for 1:30, I think. That's what it said on
the... Oh, really?
That's what
okay.
said on
the... Well, here's what we can do. We can do a Q&A with Sandy Peterson, mm-hmm. or we can do another scenario, or we can do anything we want. I thought it was 1 hour.
Yeah, the program book says 1 hour.
Oh, really? The thing on there said 1:30.
That's probably the next thing that comes in. So we'll talk until it kicks out. So, any questions for Sandy Peterson that I can answer or expound on, or problems you've had, or solutions you found that I need to know?
When you do your system, do you like sit there with a whiteboard and go, I have to come up with a scenario and I do this, or do you sort
It's
of
mostly in my head until I start writing things down on paper, on a computer.
So you just kind of work on...
I'll get a piece of paper and I'll start, like on this, I started having, like, not physical connections, but, like, mental connections of where things are. So I would do something like this on a piece of paper. I don't go with whiteboard, right, because I'm not trying to show it to other people.
Right.
But I would, like, this would be written down, then I'd do this on the paper, then I start typing in the connections. Oh, yeah, this guy's Mego, and I'd go back up and make him Mego, mm-hmm. right, and then it all starts to make sense. And it would take me longer than 45 minutes because I didn't have you guys to like help out and like have big suggestions like the cultists can be among the picketers, this family sort of, I would have to think of that on my own or not, right? So sometimes a group, I mean group thought is not always the best way to design scenarios, but and so some parts of this I just can't, like I forced the abortion clinic on you because suddenly it made sense to me. That's what was the human trafficking led to that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there we were. But and then I wanted to have the subway station with the Shoggoth. So, but you would have something else you might want to say, like, oh, we'll go into the forest and camp. We'll be safe there, right?
Dark young.
Well, I mean, or let me go again because they love the forest, right? We'll be safe near the old circle of stones on top of Round Mountain. No one will find us there. Now, if we wanted to give the Mego technology, we could. I don't think we need it to make them scarier. For one thing, the Mego, as fungus monsters, I don't think that they care if they're killed at all. They're like, oh no, someone has to spurt out another 10 billion spores somewhere to grow more of us, right? I don't think they're... I mean, we know that some of the Lucarian entities care about their personal life. I really don't think Mego are one of those. You know, so if this guy's killed, someone has to make the day trip from Yagoth, you know. This guy, but we still don't know what the Pewans are getting out of it, but we don't really have to specify. And one logical thing they're getting out of it could be, there's two logical things I can think of. One is, these hormones produced by this monster might be useful, right? It might be growth hormone so that you will live longer, or testosterone, or pituitary to make you grow bigger, or steroids, or any number of things, right? The other is, I can see the humans, connected to the abortion plan again, you can have humans that have lost children, and now they can get them again.
Yeah, or it could be something like the government knows about it, and this is something that's government funded. You know,
they could.
That they are totally aware of it, and that we're just unfortunate.
You could do that. If you did that, I would have the government not know the full extent of what's going on.
But they fund it.
Well, they would fund the abortion thing anyway. Right? And that. So they have these things coming out, and the things can either be grown humans that are all nasty, or they can be grown humans with a fungus core, and maybe that's right. And the Beagle experiment here is they're trying to grow humans with a fungus core so they can always duplicate humans. In the past, it's been hard. They had to hollow out people. They had to sit in wheelchairs. Now they have humans with a little fungus in it to control it, and they can have it for years before it falls apart. That's another possible thing they do. Or they just have the fetus monsters, which are also cool, right? So it depends on what is more spectacular for your players. The government could be involved. If you had the government in this city involved, I would have pretty much everyone in the government in this city be the cultists. Because that otherwise is going to be a clash between the men in black and the cultists, and the cultists would just win every time. So that we could do that. A clash has already happened, and that's why Fred, your friendly neighborhood family service guy, is a Mego, right? And you only have to have one Mego in the whole thing. And what I like about this also is Mego is not really a combat monster. They do other, and this sets up the Mego perfectly to be, say, suddenly players who think of Mego as being puny because you can shoot them down, suddenly they're creeped out by him because they were like, they had that fungus thing in the basement, they had this little clinic with their growing the fungus, and he was like the spider in the middle of the web, man, doing everything, right? And so that's how the Mego function to me, right? And it's the cultists they have to deal with, and of course cultists are a serious problem because they are just as tough and as smart as you are. Which is always the issue with Call of Cthulhu, is that the weakest monster in the game is you. Right. Or a cultist, which is the same as you. Plus they're more ruthless, right? Okay, so questions or comments now that we are in our last legs. Was this helpful? You can see how you could easily do this, you know. Just pick your favorite monster and say, you know, I haven't used Loigor in a while, or whatever, you right, and then put it in. And it doesn't have to be a monster, it could be a god or something. Right? You can say, I really want Cthulhu to do something. How can I get Cthulhu in this mix? And so you have Cthulhu, and I have a lighthouse, and I have a scene from a movie, and it's children in the corn. Right? There's nine of those, right? So I'm riffing randomly. I pick these, okay? So also a brief thing how it can start going. Cthulhu, lighthouse. The reason I pick a lighthouse is because in the last time I did this, one of the guys had a calendar. I said, pick a picture from the calendar, and it was lighthouse. Okay? And then Children of the Corn, because I hate all nine of those movies. Okay? And so a really quick riff, because we don't have much time left. Anyone seen Beast from 20,000 Fathoms? No one has seen it? Well, there's a natural moment in it where a giant sea monster comes up and destroys a lighthouse, and that seems like a natural domain. Okay? Even like, all right. And then the children of the corn, you could have Cthulhu raising pure people in the middle of nowhere, or we could have people whose parents, like, all matured and became deep ones and left the kids behind, and there's no adults left for them. They don't know what's happening to them. I think you could do something very interesting with that. And we're not going any further into it, because I'll leave that as an exercise for the viewer. But when the deep ones go away, what happens to the people left behind, right? I do have some scenarios where I delve into what into the deep one, the humans that have the Innsmouth look, and how their culture is. And one of the things I realize is that they don't ever learn anything professional. They don't become doctors, they don't become lawyers, they don't become accountants, because when they're 40 or 50 years old, they're going under the sea and they're going to go away forever. And what use is doctoring going to be to a fish man? Right? I mean, yeah, I knew they used some first aid, but it's pretty different. They don't need to learn human law. That's a waste. So by our standards, they're pretty uneducated. So if they want to set up a business organization or a structure on land to do something, they have to hire human experts to help them. So that's one of the scenarios they have. They have, like, people who are lawyers and accountants and professionals who are working for the deep ones who have tons of money. They have all this gold under the sea. So they have brand new corporations with tons of money, and the CEO is a guy that's 20 years old. Because he hasn't got the Innsmouth look yet, right? and it's like, it's really weird, but that I think that's how they run their businesses. You know, when they need something on, we need to have a construction company for some reason, we just buy it, right? And we hire people to hire experts to do it, because none of us are demolitions guys, right? So I think that's how their cult works. And if you think it through, you see there's weird aspects to it, how their cult society would have to be. They wouldn't have the same thing as everyone else. Now, the Migo are lucky. They have educated, sophisticated people working for them. Government people, doctors. They have to have doctors at the clinic, right? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff would be useful. In fact, the doctors may even be working with the Migo because of the biotechnology to save lives and the hormonal therapy and all that kind of stuff, right? You want stem cells in the Migo? We can try to grow gallons of the things with these fetuses, right? Here's the fetus's purpose to provide stem cells. Yeah, it's all swole up in the spinal column, right? Yes.
Do you have suggestions for keeping over video chat applications versus in person? That happens to be a lot of my keeping currently because it's not always possible to get everyone around a table. I was wondering if you've ever done that or if you have any advice on that.
I would say that one of the advantages you have with that is that are you Skyping or what?
Google Talk, Skype.
Okay. You share a screen to show them illustrations of things you need or even short video clips to set them in the mood. Like, here is a photograph of the house, and you just, like, Google online and find the photograph. They can't see you doing it either, so it's kind of cool. Okay? A disadvantage is that you can't set up cool figures on the map and show where they go. People won't be able to do it. So, specific advice? I mean, if you're doing it over Skype or Google Talk, then it shouldn't be that different, right? I mean, what challenges have you faced?
Mood. Typically.
Yeah. Mood can be a problem because you're all looking at a screen, yeah.
Mood is more challenging.
I would say everyone has to turn out the lights in the room because you can see the screen anyway. And then everyone has it be dark. And no one wants to look at you and see, like, you know, your a Tomb Raider calendar on the wall behind you, right? You want to turn the lights down. So have it be dark in everyone's room. Okay? So it's dark and looking at a little screen. That will at least get in the mood they would have if they're watching a show or something, right? Music's tougher to do. I often have music playing in the background, right, to call it Cthulhu. Not too loud, but I'll put on some Goblin or something, you know. And, you know the group Goblin? If you don't, look it up. One of the main things was to do film music for Italian horror movies of the 70s and 80s. And they rock pretty hard. I think my favorite piece by them was for, I can't think of the name. No. That's good, though. No, it's the one about the writer who's being hunted. I can't believe I can't. It's one of my favorite songs, and I can't think of the name. Dario Argento. Hey, I'll be right there. Tenebrae. because Tenebrae has the guy with the demented mind in it, and the song sounds like there's two rhythms to it, and one of them's, okay, they're all electronic music, very electronic. One of the things that I like about the Italian cinema back when it still existed before it was killed off in like 1999, is that if they couldn't afford to have an orchestral soundtrack, what American filmmakers do is they use electronic soundtrack, but they try to make a sound like an orchestral one, and it sounds like super terrible. The Italians just suck it up and make a electronic one, but make a really good one. So if you're looking for mood music, they're pretty great. The mood music is harder to do. I came to this topic because mood music is harder to do on a Skype thing, so you're kind of stuck there. But you can turn off the lights. And that's one of the advantages of the images. If you go online ahead of time, you can steal it from all over the internet. There's got to be images that are cool. You see this, and you show some scene from The Last of Us, or something, right? Or a video game, or from a store, right? Or like, this is the Shun Caps. And if you're popping those up and they're looking at those, that can help put them in some of the mood. I'm not saying you show them all the sticky monsters, but but there's creepy things you can show them, right? You can also, another thing you can do is you can pop up on your screen the papers and the stuff they read. Okay, which is a convenient way of giving them. I mean, it's kind of cool to be able to handle them, but you can't do that, so like, pick up the paper. Okay? You can roll all the dice on the screen so they can see it. Or not, if you want to keep it all hidden and secretive because you're a big cheerhead, but which I will admit freely to, many Call of Cthulhu keepers need to be big cheerheads at some time. So that's what I would advise. Is that useful?
Yes, very helpful.
Okay. What else we got?
Nothing.
You're devoid of questions for my first trip back to Bay Area and all the time. Okay, well, I urge you to come up here and get some of these terrific tattoos. I think I did that before, and I didn't get any takers. And this is propaganda for my upcoming game, God's War, which is kind of like Cthulhu Wars, but in a fantasy universe, but it's like a Sandy Peterson fantasy universe, so instead of elves and dwarfs and dragons, it's the mad god and the hell mother and phoenixes and stuff. Because that's how I think. And on the back of it is Onslaught 2, which is the upcoming Kickstarter for 6 more factions in Cthulhu Wars at a bargain price that everyone should want. And also all the other factions that have been released for it. And this is the first time I've said everything that's actually in the expansions, like all the new gods. And we got J. Ramsey Campbell to pitch in this time, so we got his stuff. So we got Eagle and that, and J. Ramsey Campbell monsters. He was at Necronomicon, and he agreed before I went to Necronomicon, right? But I didn't say Necronomicon. So there it is. So, is that it? We done? It's almost 1, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
That means I can get lunch.
Yay.
Unless my next event is at 1 o'clock, which I don't know. My next event is not till 5:30. So, lunch it is. Anywhere but the hotel. Yes.
Do you mind signing some stuff?
I do not mind. I will sign anything at any time.
I have logs. And you can take our program from the last festival.
Yeah, I love those field guides.
I have those too. Yeah.
They're great. These are now quite expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got them at like book sales.
It's a ballpoint.
Do you want me to use this?
Yeah, because I don't have another pen. Here.
Oh, I have a different one.
But that's the same one. Like, you don't have a Sharpie.
So, with the Call of Cthulhu Kickstarter, games. Yeah. Well, this is the great one, right? This is the one more expensive. They are redoing this for the Call of Cthulhu 7 Kickstarter, but it's all different art, so it's not the same.
Oh, yeah.
You want to have the Tom Sullivan stuff. They were too cheap at the time to pay Tom Sullivan and Mark Ferrari's price. Which I think they didn't even investigate. But
and I don't know if you worked on it, but I have a.
Oh yeah,
Larry's.
I worked on all of these.
I have Larry's on there.
Oh
too,
cool!
So. Could get any more.
I'll have mine too.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, they decided at the company that there wasn't room to put the Terra Australis in Maxing Wrath Damp, So
right, now it's like, in the new one, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Hey, yeah. Next, other paper, other things to sign, I'm sure there's another.
Are you doing demos for God's War?
Yes, I did one today at 9 o'clock, I'm doing one tomorrow at 3, and if I have time...
Okay, that's good, that's great.
Here's what I'm going to do. Are you interested in God's War?
Yeah, it seemed fairly interesting, the Kickstarter, but I wasn't quite sure, so...
Do you play asymmetrical strategy games?
Well, I do have your Call of Cthulhu game. So.
You mean Cthulhu Wars?
That's Cthulhu Wars.
That's the game you're supposed to grab a program from the
Find.
Cool. Although it always
takes a lot 2 years ago, and this was this year.
It always takes a lot longer than when I played it with you explaining.
It must be
the different people I play with.
Could be. If you can find 4 people that want to play it tomorrow before. Like 10 o'clock, I will run a demo for you. And you can get... That's my card to text me.
How long does that run?
It takes about 2 hours unless people have a lot of analysis paralysis. It's a little longer than Cthulhu Wars, which is about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was going to try and do a tournament.
Well, I mean, if you can't, you can't. So, but you can certainly see it at 3. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I need a pen to sign.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you, Sandy.
Right here.
We grew up playing Age of Kings.
Yeah. And oh, cool,
and
thanks.
And I can't believe one person did all of that.
Yes.
Sandy, like...
Well, there was a team of us on those games, but I was the designer, yeah.
But you know what I mean.
So, did you play Age of Empires 3?
Yeah. Okay. The War Chiefs, I know you were very involved. I read all the Heaven Games Ask Sandy columns. We're super fans.
So, one of my goals has been to try to sneak Cthulhu or Lovecraft into every game I do.
Yes, that's one of my goals.
So Age of Empires 3, right, there's not much place for Lovecraft, but you remember the Indian scouts?
Yes.
They each came from a different tribe?
Yes.
Did you ever get the Miskatonic Indian tribe?
No, that's one of them. That was in there.
It's one of them. It's not a city, just the scouts. Each scout, like there's the Navajo scout and there's the the Huron scout. But I made the list of tribes. So I put Miskatonic. And so one of my fellow guys caught it and he says, "What's this tribe? I haven't heard of it." And I said, "It's an obscure New England tribe. You wouldn't heard," and they left it in. It's there.
You probably saw it, but it was before we started playing Call of Cthulhu. If maybe you can hear.
Sure.
But when we discovered that it was all you, it was really shocking. A lot of sanity loss. Age of Kings, his whole strategy was just deer. And he would elephant rush as Persians. Which is a terrible strategy when you were young.
When you're little, it works, right?
Yeah.
No, I remember they're getting elephant rush. How do you fight elephants? And of course,
the monks.
Well, see, it turns out the elephants are really open-minded. They're willing to listen to alternate ideas. They'll consider things deeply and then like, because they're slow. Hoplites are the same way. They also have very open minds.
Well, we've been playing your games since we were keep playing them as long as you're making them. So
here's the 2 next ones I'm making.
Oh, we grabbed that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, I'll need some of these too.
Take them.
Thank you, Sam.
You got kids, take them for the kids too. Yeah. So this is Nyarlathotep. This is the Crawling Chaos.
Well, I declare allegiance to Yogg-Sothoth, so...
Oh, well, here he is. He's a purple one.
Very good.
He's, that's the Yogg-Sothoth. This is the sleeper, Seth-Agawa. This is, of course, the Black Goat. Windwalker.
Take them all.
And Azathoth.
I'm very grateful that you're back at Chaosium, and,
Sort of. I am an advisor and on the board of directors and a stockholder, but my actual job is to run Peterson Games. So, but they are.
I know Moon Design is at the helm now.
Moon Design's at the helm, but they're like good buddies of mine. I mean, I'm licensing God's War from them, right? Or not God's War from them, but the name of Glorantha. I've talked to them, and they're going to be publishing a book of my scenarios. So it's to be maybe 2 of them.
Do you have recordings?
Probably called
on the internet of you running scenarios by any chance?
Probably. I mean,
okay.
Yogg-Sothoth.com. I never took recording myself, but other people have done it. Yogg-Sothoth.com did one, which I had, which is about the Tower of Babel. It was like during the Iraq War, and they went there. That's what Tower of Babel was, right? So, I think at Kraken they have tape recorded me before. I mean, people have tape recorded me.
Will Panacea ever be published? Panacea, what you're running today?
Yeah, it's one of the ones.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I talked to Mike Mason and said I got these like every year I write a scenario to run at conventions and then like they accumulate over time. Because I can't rerun it forever. Eventually, people will have played it. Panacea has been run once in Providence. So I figure I'm safe running it here. But if I keep running that, eventually people will know it. Right. So I have all these scenarios, so I gave them to, I said, casting, would you like to publish these? And so their casting's going
to
do it.
Well, I hope there's a way for them to be published in any form. I'd love to run them.
They're going to publish them. They're all, the thing is, they're all convention scenarios, right? So they're like, they're really flashy as far as like, maybe shallow, but like lots of stuff happening. The players get killed in huge numbers, success that everyone expects. No one wants a leveling up scenario at a convention, right? So it's like,
but that's what we have time for. So it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's all you have time for. Everyone dies by the end, right? I mean, they don't all have to die, but like if they don't, I'll remark, hey, last time I played this, everyone died. And did someone mention the space one they played with me, or no, one of the other guys, I guess. But yeah, so they're publishing those, and then the other thing I've got them is that in my own campaign, occasionally I have done a post like apocalypse Cthulhu game after Cthulhu comes back, which is kind of where Cthulhu Wars came from anyway. So they're looking at putting together and doing a Cthulhu Wars campaign.
Awesome.
Where it happens after. During in the Cthulhu Wars universe,
right.
and their theory about this, which is probably a good one, is that this is probably not a campaign that you go on and play for years, but it has a definite end, right? Where you drive off the old ones and humanity goes down to wreck anyway, or you don't drive off the old ones and humanity. I mean, if the Cthulhu comes back, like it's extinction time, right?
Yes.
But you can still have pretty cool adventures in that universe while it's happening.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's published. And
they're even talking about doing some of my some of the LARPs I wrote, the Cthulhu LARPs. So we'll see about that.
Great.
I have a 8-person LARP called The Hospital, set in Vienna in 1946. I have a 12-person LARP called Night of the Opera, about some people trying to put on the opera Don Juan Triumphant, which is the opera written by The Phantom.
Let me build up my group to 12 people first, and then I'll look into that.
Well, it's a LARP, so you do it at a party, right? And you get other people. And then the other one is my Evil High Priest LARP, which is 36 people, and everyone plays, like, one of the players is Cthulhu, one's Herbert West, and everyone's in Washington. It's like the bad guys. So it's a... So that's what I have going. Then I have all the scenarios, Panacea, and We Will Still Be Monkeys, and Blood Dance, and the different ones I did.
Thank you for doing what you do, Sandy.
Yeah. You bet.